Hey, why don't we read a few scriptures here, a few verses, and we'll get ready to get started. Just warm up here for a moment. Let's read something out of the book of Psalms. Okay, 104. This is a good one to memorize. It's good to take time to memorize scriptures. You can put them on your cell phone and maybe run that back as you're driving your car. Some of these verses, or here's a good one, Psalms 104, or 105, verse 4. He says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore." Of course, that's what we do, because we're using the tools He gave us. Okay, and of course, by giving us these tools, we continue to reflect. So seek, and Lord also has to do with laboring with Him. And the strength here has to do with the tokens of His refuge. Okay, so we're accepting the tokens of refuge. We exercise our faith with these tokens here. Okay, a token of refuge. And of course, by these things, we behold the face of Christ by this knowledge. Thus we say right here, seek His face evermore. Okay, here's another one. I want to make some notes on this. This is another one of Psalms 104, 29-30. Here he says, in Psalms 105, he says, seek His face evermore. And in Psalms 104, it says, you hide your face. Isn't that interesting? You hide your face, they are troubled. And we know that when God takes away the knowledge, okay, that we begin to walk in darkness, okay, like a trance of death. Okay, so you hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die, and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit. In fact, we'll be talking more about that today, about the anointing. You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And we can see that's what the anointing does. The anointing creates life within us. Okay, but the tokens of the Lord, and He creates life within us. So you send forth your spirit, they are created. And what does He do? And He also says, you renew the face of the earth. Whereas He gives us new life. We can see the same thing with Noah. I mean, how God renewed the face of the earth by the anointing which He put within Noah. Okay, here's another one before the bell rings. Okay, in Psalms 105, verse 15. It says here, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. We can see these things through the stewardship of David, King David there, of how King Saul tried to, you could say, do injury to David, okay, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon David, okay, showing that there was a transition taking place, okay, from the first ram, which was King Saul, to the second ram, okay, which became King David, okay, and we can see the same thing, okay, which is unfolded through Jesus' ministry, Jesus, the Son of David. So He says, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. That's because the Spirit of the Lord is expressing the voice of the Lord through the vessels which He has selected, saying, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. That's a good one. Here's another one to round this off. And this is Psalms 107, 1 and 2. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And that's what we do, as you're expressing your charity. Because we know that charity testifies of Christ, or charity testifies of Him. Okay, so, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Okay, which means He works equity. Okay, God puts equity. And the anointing provides equity for us. Okay, what the intellect of one's logic can't do, the anointing does. Okay, the anointing is as a free will offering given to us by God. Okay, to provide us this equity so that we can communicate with Him and complete the cycle. So we'll give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Okay, there's another element there, mercy. Because we're talking about His active involvement brings us equity. Okay, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And this is what we confess. Okay, we confess Jesus as Lord through our charity. Okay, so that which is within the heart is manifested within the lips. Okay, so that's what Paul brings out in the Apostle Paul. Okay, if we believe in our heart concerning Him, concerning Jesus Christ, and confess with our mouth, we shall be saved. So we see that the cycle is completed, okay, by the gift which He's provided for us. We reciprocate in kind. So let the redeemed the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, okay, which has to do with the works of darkness, okay, the false knowledge of this world. The enemy of righteousness is the evil knowledge of this world, which keeps the soul in a state of sleep, but only is awakened by that anointing. Anointing of Christ. Well, let's get started here. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll pick up where we left off. All right. Ephesians 5. And we can see in verse 1, Ephesians 5, is be therefore followers of God as dear children. Okay, and when he says, how do we be followers of God when God is invisible? Okay, well, we follow him according to the knowledge which he's inscribing within us, in our hearts and in our minds. Okay, and he says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people, through the inscription of his grace within us. Okay, now how do we know that this inscription of grace exists within us? Okay, that is by the confession of our mouth, which we walk in love. Okay, by the confession of your mouth, the charity which he's provided for you puts you in a state of being tender-hearted, and that's what he brings out in the next, in the previous chapter. Be you kind one another and tender-hearted. Because we can see that he takes out the stony heart and gives us the heart of flesh. Okay, tender-hearted. So charity keeps the soul tender-hearted, okay, which is the very opposite, okay, of wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, or malice. These are the things which cause us, the heart to be stony. They are hardened towards him. Okay, the stony heart represents that which is of the law, okay, which is built, okay, a temple of stone. But we say the tender heart has to do with that which is the heart of flesh, okay, which he's inscribing within us, okay, within our vessels of flesh. So be you therefore followers of God as dear children, or as sheep following the shepherd. Okay, and we follow him through the cords of his refuge, okay, which has to do with the operations, the gift, and the administrations. Okay, the Spirit, which the Apostle Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and is the manifestation of the Spirit that we're profiting by, okay, the gifts, the operations, and administrations, okay, which is provided for all saints. Okay, so that there be no schism or stony heart. So we're walking in love as we continue to express him, as Christ also loved us, giving us the knowledge of the Father. Okay, and has given himself, as he says, an offering and a sacrifice unto God. Okay, and our charity is an offering and sacrifice unto God. We're offering back to our Father that which he's provided for us, okay, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, but that which withholds manifests death. Okay, not as Cain, who was the wicked one, and murdered his brother, which is brother Abel. Why did he kill him or murder him? Because his own works were evil, but his brother's righteous. Okay, his brother Abel's sacrifice was righteous, which God visited him, okay, in a manifestation of fire. Okay, and God also visits us in a manifestation of fire, okay, which is also known as that seal. Okay, the seal of the Spirit, and evidence was speaking in other tongues. Okay, and but those which are in darkness, they refuse these things of the Spirit, because a natural man doesn't understand them. And of course, the Apostle Paul brings that out. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Well, what are the things of the Spirit of God? Is it tithing the things of the Spirit? No, tithing isn't things of Spirit, because tithing bears the mark and the image of man, the coinage of this world. Okay, bears the image of the honor and the glory of this world. And we don't honor God with the glory of this world. We honor God with the glory of our Father, okay, and the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, so tithing doesn't bear the image of Christ. So therefore, it is the natural things. But the natural man, which offers the physical things. Okay, and therefore we have the word shame. So we come to verse 12. Shame. For it's a shame. Anything that's less than light is shame. Okay, another way of identifying the kingdom of darkness. Satan or Satanel is also known as shame because he's less than light. He only bears the light of his own signature, okay, as his children of this world do. They bear the light of their signature, thinking that that is the light of God. It isn't. The signature of man is the light of his own record. Okay, but we bear the light of Christ, okay, the record of God. Okay, and how do we do this? Through the testimony which he's provided for us, okay, which is called the fruit of the Spirit. We see that in verse 9. So we're walking as children of light by this fruit, those things which he's birthing within us and nurturing. Okay, it's nurtured through our cooperation or walking in harmony with him, as we'll be reading about here, about redeeming the time in verse 16. And we know that by that which he's inscribing within us, being called children of righteousness, we're also the children of his adoption, and are those also known as the inheritance. Okay, we're proving what is acceptable to the Lord by those things which he's inscribing with us, the knowledge. Okay, knowledge which he's putting within us is identifying the kingdom which we're representing. So we're proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And we'll be reading more about that when we get to the Gospel of John. The tasting of the wine is evidence of the anointing. Okay, and we're tasting of Christ, evidence of the anointing. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. Okay, which has to do with that which escapes the eye of discernment. So we are building God's kingdom. As you're building God's kingdom, you're also at the same time setting a standard of reproof against those which are using substandard material. The signature of man is substandard material. And we know that buildings collapse by using substandard material. The signature of man is the light of his own record. Okay, bears the image of the honor and the glory of this world. And we don't honor God with the glory of this world. So the house of Satan, which the children of darkness are building, they will collapse. And we can see this in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. That which is the city of Babylon. The city of Babylon is collapsing, is burning with fire. And all those that contributed to the honor of Babylon, will weep and wail at her consumption of fire. Her works will be burned. And all those that contribute, or invest in that kingdom also suffer loss. Our investment is the things of the Spirit, which has to do with the gifts, the callings, and the graces of God, government, truth, the Spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. The words that we use to describe the threefold cord is similar to that which the false religious system uses. So it's confusing to them. When we use the word prayer, we're connecting it to the covenant. When they use the word prayer, they're connecting it to the aspiration. Okay, so the word is the same, but the direction is different. Absence of reality, because we're outside the covenant. Okay, the word's the same. We say, as concerning the government, the truth, and the Spirit. Okay, when you hear the word Spirit, they understand that in the text of the Bible, but they're not experiencing it in the reality of the covenant. So when we say the word prophesy, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy. So you can hear the words in there, preaching, prophecy. They say, yeah, we do that. Those are the false religious system. Okay, but they're using it with the pretense of the aspiration. When you remove it from the covenant, you have corrupted it. Okay? When you remove it from the covenant, you corrupted it. We can see the same thing, the same language, and the same similarities here of that first covenant. Okay, that everything of that first covenant was to remain within the premises of its functionality. Okay, at the altar with the priesthood. So when we say the word priesthood, we're not talking about that, which is the outward adorning. We're talking about the priesthood, the inward working. Okay, the inner working of regeneration of the covenant. Okay, this is how we're followers of God and we walk in love. Okay, as the Apostle Paul is bringing out the Ephesians. Okay, now when he says it here, being followers of God and walking in love, we're talking about the praise of the glory of his grace. Of course, we go back to chapter 1, don't we? Going back to chapter 1, we can see what the seal of this fellowship is for the eternal inheritance which is being provided for us, to those that overcome. Because we carry within us that testimony, the living testimony, not the precept in line. The precept in line shackles the imagination to Scripture. But the anointing shackles us, or tethers us to Christ. The anointing tethers us to Christ. Therefore, it's completing the cycle. The Spirit completes the things of the Spirit. That's what we're to worship the Father with. This is what Jesus was bringing to the attention of the Jews of that first century. When God was manifest in the flesh, he labored by the angel which worked with him, beginning from his baptism to his ascension, which we give witness to. We give witness to that, to the record which Jesus provided for us. Which, of course, the Apostle Peter, being the chief elder, brought to the attention of those in the upper room in chapter 1 of Acts. He brought that to their attention. Must one be a witness with us? okay, beginning from John's baptism to his ascension. Okay, so in other words, this is the completed record which we're testifying to, okay, which we're living in today. Okay, the Lord in his mercy has restored to us this divine knowledge, okay, for the purpose of completing, okay, his plan. He's completing his plan within us. Okay, he's completing his plan within us. This is the joy of the Lord, okay, which Jesus is speaking of to his apostles in the gospel there, in the gospel of John. So we talked about the word shame here in verse 12, which has to do with anything that's less than light. It's unclean knowledge. Unclean knowledge was first given there in the Garden of Eden. Okay, unclean knowledge. Okay, unclean knowledge is that which is, it possesses certain elements in it, okay, unsanctified. Okay, so Satan was quoting God, but it was mingled with aspiration. Okay, and that's what Eve, okay, her ears picked up on, that, that we should be as gods, knowing good and evil. Okay, and that she would not die. Okay, so her ears perked up when she heard those, when she heard the language, similar language, but another kingdom. Okay, so Satan was introducing the false religious system in himself, because he's the prince of darkness. Okay, and he's the one that's governing, okay, the false religious system. And we can see the matching colors there. Okay, the matching colors is a uniform of that kingdom, which is as scarlet and purple and red. Okay, we can see that in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Okay, because the woman was clothed in scarlet and she rode upon a scarlet colored beast. Okay, so they wore matching colors. Okay, in other words, they were a couple. Okay, they were a couple, but he divorced her. Not he divorced her, he murdered her. Okay, in the very end. Okay, so we can see that we also wear matching colors, okay, with the kingdom of God, which has to do with pure white linen, okay, which is the righteousness of the saints. Okay, so the holy city, New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, okay, is also covered, okay, in his light, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light of it. So we wear matching colors, which shows that we're a couple. Okay, we're a couple, which means we're joined to him. And we're mating with him through this knowledge. That which he's providing for us, we're feasting upon. Okay, and we'll get to that. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. Okay, the word secret right there doesn't mean it's as a concealed chamber. It's not a concealed chamber. Okay, but in other words, it escapes the carnal eye. Okay, it escapes the carnal eye. It doesn't escape our eye, but it escapes the carnal eye. Because the language is similar, but the kingdoms are different. Okay, when Jesus is being tempted of the devil, Satan resourced the precept. Okay, and presented the precept to Jesus. He packaged it with the aspiration, and Jesus could smell the rottenness of it. He could smell the corruption of the knowledge. Okay, even though the knowledge was taken right out of the Bible. Okay, because Satan said it is written that he should give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Yes, that was inspired by God, okay, given through the stewardship of David, okay, which pinned that down for the benefit of the righteous, those who should be in covenant. But Satan resourced that for the aspiration and packaged it. He tried to sweeten it a little bit. He put a little sweetener in it. Okay, he said, it is written. And so Satan's ministers do the same thing today. Okay, they try to sweeten the knowledge, okay, with, you could say, sprinkles of aspiration. Okay, for it is a shame even to speak of those things. Okay, in other words, the knowledge which that kingdom provides, you can say, is not, with the knowledge that you're preaching, okay, is corruptible. The knowledge that you're preaching is corruptible. Okay, it's going to manifest the heart. And this is what he brings out in verse 13. Okay, but all things that are reproved are manifest by the light. Okay, but of course the light has to do, okay, with the knowledge which we have received. Okay, in him was light, and life, and the light was the light of men, or life of men. Okay, as, of course, the chief elder John brings out in the gospel which he writes, okay, giving testimony of the presence of the Messiah and the fulfillment of all things of the law and the prophets and the Psalms. Okay, so we can see, okay, that the knowledge, the anointing teaches you the true Christ. And by teaching us the true Christ, it assists us to weigh the words on the scale. The scale of righteousness. We're able to weigh the words. And we're going to see that the knowledge of the false religious system is wanting. Okay, so therefore it's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret is wanting on the scale. But everything that we speak by the anointing bears God's goodness, perfect equity, chapter 5, verse 9, which brings that out. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. We can see the anchor of this, which Chief Elder Peter brings out, which he's able to establish, strengthen, and settle us. This is the marking of our confidence, the foot of our confidence. Our feet being shod, with the gospel of his peace. It gives us a confidence that we don't remove our foot from this position, but we stand fast. Don't remove your foot from this position of truth. But all things that are reproved are manifest by the light. The knowledge of God continually cleanses the soul through your cycles of growth. It's through your priesthood that we're continually experiencing this life and peace. And of course, Paul brings that out. This is where your fellowship lies. Your fellowship lies within these cycles of growth and through the exchanging of this knowledge. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, whether it's fruitful or unfruitful, whether it's holy or profane, whether it's clean or unclean. Of course, this is what the Spirit brought to Chief Elder John's attention there in Revelation, in Revelation 22. He does filthy, then be filthy still, and he does unjust, then be just still, but he is righteous, then be righteous still. So this is a reflection concerning the revelation that was given to all souls in the bosom of the Father, that they that are unrighteous and they which are filthy will continue to bear that testimony. The testimony of their aspiration. The glitter people, or the sand people, or the mud people. Because the sand people are those which roll in the mud. They're building a kingdom for the flesh. Whereas we're building the kingdom of the Spirit. The kingdom which we're building, though it's invisible, now will be fully visible at the appointed time when we enter into that lot. But we get glimpses of that through the expressions of charity and through the cycles of your growth. But all things that are reproved, back to verse 13, are manifest by the light, for whatsoever does make manifest is the light. In other words, we can continually carry God's favor through these tokens. We carry this testimony, and only those that carry this testimony will enter back in the Father's bosom. But those that lack this testimony, those that lack it will realize they're wanting in that day. So wherefore, he says, at this present time, he says, wake you that sleep and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. So you can highlight the word light again. So we see the word light in verse 14, light in verse 13. In fact, it's there twice. Verse 13, we see also in verse 8, the word light. So he's not talking about natural light. We know he's talking about, it's concerning the intense knowledge of our Father, the Father of lights. He's called the Father of lights because it represents that which is of the day. It represents that which is the eternal time. So verse 14 again, wherefore he says, awake you that sleep. In other words, it's like Jesus snapping his fingers to the fingers of grace to snap us out of our trance of false knowledge. And that's what grace does. And we can see when the Lord snaps his fingers, snaps his fingers of grace, that enlightenment brings the soul to a point of realization. That's that first enlightenment. Upon receiving that enlightenment, a person needs the seal, the seal of the Spirit, and to enter into the covenant. The seal of the Spirit is given to enter into covenant. Fire enter fire. So wake you that sleep, or arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light, which means now you can remove yourself apart from the corruptible things of the law, that have defiled you, the corruptible things of the law. Because the law was given, not for the purpose of righteousness, but because of the transgression. It was given for the purpose of making known the conditions of the soul, how far the Adamite has fallen from his grace. It was given for contrast. The law was given for contrast, but not for the purpose of salvation. It was given for contrast. That's why we utilize the law, and that's why Paul said in Romans, the law is good. The law is good. For the purpose of this contrast, the law is good. It teaches us you could say it provides an options of scale. The scale of the flesh does not provide the equity which God is looking for. Okay, but the scale of the spirit provides the equity. Okay, and Jesus is that equity. He is that scale. He is the scale of holiness. Whatever doesn't measure up to that scale of holiness is not acceptable unto God's kingdom. As the scriptures bear that out, be ye holy for I am holy, saith the Lord. The scale of holiness is provided for us, okay, for the purpose of this contrast. Okay, that we continually lay hold on the things of life. Okay, we embrace those things, okay, of his kingdom in order to escape the wrath to come. So he says, awake. So we can see that the grace of God has enlightened us now to continue to embrace these things. Okay, and he shall give you life. So we're rising from the dead, from the corruptible things of the law. And Christ shall give you light. This is more grace upon grace, to see this path. Okay, the path of the living one, followers of God. So we're able to see the path. Well, what is this path? Well, it's the prophetic path of your priesthood. We prophesy of Christ. Okay, we prophesy him. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay, and we prophesy of him through this charity. His charity continually identifies us, okay, with his source, because the anointing always points to the source. There are those which are the false prophetic system, okay, that all they're doing is disclosing events. Okay, that's not pointing to the source, that's just pointing to the event. Okay, pointing to the event there. We can see the same thing, okay, in the Old Testament. Even though these prophets pointed to the events, yet they spoke by that anointing. Okay, because they pointed to the one to come, the anointed one. They pointed to him. Okay, so we can see that the anointing which is upon them, again, pointed to the source. Okay, the false religious system tries to relive the Old Testament prophets. Okay, and they mix with that some of their own philosophy to represent the Christian faith, okay, which we call psychophysy. Psychophysy is merely speaking into somebody. And of course, we witnessed those things. Okay, Marie and I witnessed those things. We were in California. We were going to a charismatic church. Okay, and this is it was introduced, okay, to the preacher that was there. Okay, when he would call people forward, okay, and he say, God revealed to me something about you, and he of course go into it's like a profile, reading from a profile. Okay, but calling it prophecy, which is really psychophysy. So instead of putting people on the path of righteousness, it put them on a path of self-righteousness. Okay, they began to seek God, okay, for the purpose of resolving their conflict rather than laboring within the priesthood for the healing of these things. Okay, so laboring in your priesthood brings healing to the soul, which of course Chief Elder Peter brings that out, okay, by whose stripes you were healed. He brings that out in his epistle, by whose stripes you were healed. So the purpose of the priesthood, okay, is for the healing of the soul. Okay, the healing of the soul increases your value because you're increasing in fruit bearing. Okay, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. The object of being followers of God, okay, on this prophetic path which you're walking in, okay, is for fruit bearing. Okay, it qualifies us to build his kingdom. And by building his kingdom, we receive the reward of our labor. Hey, now verse 14. Wherefore rise, he says, awake you that sleep, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Let's go to verse 15 now. And see then that you walk circumspectly. Can you walk circumspectly in the darkness? No, you can't. Okay, circumspectly has to do with, you can say, staying on the road. Okay, you have control of the steering wheel of the vehicle. Okay, so walking circumspectly. Okay, with knowledge and control. Okay, you have to know what you're doing. Now, the false religious system is not walking circumspectly. Okay, they're staggering. So we're showing right here, we're having our feet shod. Next chapter, our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So therefore, we're walking circumspectly. Okay, we're walking with confidence. We're not staggering. Okay, because we're studying this knowledge. Okay, we're studying the knowledge of God and we're rebuking the thief. Okay, as you're doing on Facebook and on Twitter, okay, and Instagram, you're rebuking the thief, okay, by reproof of truth. Okay, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Okay, we're children of light and we're walking in the light, okay, and reproving those things of darkness, which has to do with the fruits of Satan's kingdom, the prince of darkness. The fruits of his kingdom are being manifested by the light. And by doing so, we're redeeming the time. Okay, so we're walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So here the Apostle Paul again gives us contrast. The fool. The fool is loud in her passion, but wise are those which listen and study. We listen to knowledge of God. We study these things out. Okay, so therefore we're walking circumspectly. We know where the altar is at. We know what direction to take. That's your wisdom. So therefore, the wise. Okay, the wise know the direction. The false religious system is still wandering in the wilderness. Okay, they even identify themselves as the wilderness believers. Okay, they have made known these things, okay, in numerous articles, okay, written by their columnists, in their magazines, and things which they favor there, which continually identify them as wandering in circles. They're turning to the right hand, they're turning to the left hand. And the scriptures bear that out. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, which means if you turn to the right, you're going to walk in a circle. If you turn to the left, you're going to walk in a circle. But we can see that those which followed Moses's, an example, was those which followed Moses's counsel, followed the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of the cloud by day. And by doing this, they went through the purging. Okay, until the time appointed the Father, 40 years. A whole generation perished. Okay, the generation represents that which is of the carnal things. Okay, the carnal things. The generation of the flesh perished. And so faith was born. So all those that entered the promised land were the children of faith. And how do we know that? Because the walls of Jericho fell down. Okay, they fell down by the anointing. The angel pushed them right down. Okay, they overcame. Okay, great barriers. Okay, they overcame great obstacles by the anointing. And that's what we do. Okay, we overcome. That's what the Bible uses. The Bible uses that language. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. So the word overcomer has to do with those which are enduring through long-suffering and patience. Okay, you're not going to shed this flesh. God has put you, he's put his spirit in the vessel of flesh. Okay, for the purpose of this trial, okay, the purpose of the proving, it's put there for a reason. The false religious system wants to shed their flesh in order to be free from challenges, but it's these challenges that we continually choose righteousness. Okay, and our Father honors us for those choices. Okay, even as Peter was honored by the Lord Jesus. Okay, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Okay, because flesh and blood, that means your tradition didn't teach you this. My Father taught you that. The anointing. Okay, you listened to the anointing, and I acknowledge that. And that's why Jesus used the word blessed. Okay, blessed be you, Simon Bar-Jonah. In other words, the spirit that was upon Abraham is now seen in your language and choices. And that's why we're called children of Abraham. We're not called children of Moses because we're not identified with the law. Okay, the law identifies tithing, the physical baptism, physical communion, physical circumcision, and observing the Sabbath day. Okay, we're not called children of Moses. We're children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, which shows that our origin is not that which is the flesh, but that which is of the Spirit. Okay, and we use the tokens of the Spirit. By using the tokens of the Spirit, we're identifying the kingdom which we're laboring with. Okay, those which are the flesh, being carnal-minded, honor the things of the flesh. Okay, they will never grow, nor will they ever mature. They'll always be infant in their thinking, babies in their thinking. Okay? And being babies in their thinking, they'll always choose the wrong things. Okay? Even as an infant or a baby, okay, whatever they find, they put in their mouth. Okay? And the false religious system continually puts things in their mouth that are not good. So that's why we are continually feasting at the table of the Lord. Okay, eating those things, even that which is solid food. Okay, so and this is what Paul brings out. Be you therefore no longer children. Okay, but rather, he says, he brings it out, but rather be men. Be not children understanding, but understanding, rather be men. And malice be you children. Okay, in other words, it's concerning, we're not taking into our hand, okay, the rod of revenge. Okay, but rather we're taking into our hand, okay, the tokens of mercy. He, the tokens of mercy. He that shows mercy receives mercy. as the scriptures bear out. So we're walking circumspectly. As vessels of mercy, we show mercy. Through your charity. Okay, through your charity, you're showing mercy, not as the children of Cain. Okay, the children of Cain smite with the aspiration. Okay, though Cain assisted or offered a sacrifice upon the altar, Cain was religious and Cain heard from God. Okay, those in a false religious system outside of the covenant, they do hear from God. God gives them dreams, just like God gave Pharaoh a dream. Just like God gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream. Just like God gave Belshazzar a vision when he saw a hand of a man, fingers of the hand of a man writing on the wall. Well, he had his spiritual experience all right. Okay, just like also Abimelech. Okay, he had his spiritual experience. We can see the Gentiles, they had dreams. They had visions. Okay, even as Pilate's wife had a dream. Okay, Pilate's wife had a dream. She wasn't a Christian. She wasn't saved. She was an unconverted heathen person. Okay, but she had a dream. But that dream didn't make her righteous. Dreams and visions don't make you righteous. Covenant will. Faith in the covenant will make you righteous. Okay, but the false religious system tries to build confidence to God, in God, okay, by fables. So they use their experiences, okay, as a reference point and not truth as a reference point. Truth is our reference point because we're building confidence in Christ, not in ourselves. We're building confidence in Christ. Right? So we're redeeming the time. Okay, we can see this here in verse 16. Redeeming time. So let's go now to 2 Kings. So put your marker here in Ephesians. And we're going to jump to 2 Kings here. We're in 2 Kings chapter 20. And I'm going to read some things here. We'll read a few verses from verse 8 to 11. Now, Hezekiah, God gave him a sign. Okay, God gave Hezekiah a sign. He was a man of faith. But Ahaz was not a man of faith. Well, who was Ahaz? Well, Ahaz did these things. Because he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. And it says it back in chapter 16. In the 17th year of Pekah, the king of son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 20 years old when he began to reign. He did not that which is right in the sight of the Lord, his God, as David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Okay, and brings out a list of abominations. So we're going to see that God can utilize, okay, the things of this world, okay, in order to give the righteous confidence. It's kind of strange, isn't it? But that's what he's going to do here. Okay, I remember the Lord gave us a word of knowledge one time, and a confirmation of that came through as Marie and I were watching Star Trek. It was kind of interesting that the word of knowledge was given, and then, of course, then the program came on, and as we were watching the program, okay, that word of knowledge was spoken in that program. Okay, that word of knowledge. So we can see that God he can use the unclean, okay, in order to reveal something. Just like the voice of the ass. The ass spoke with a man's voice. The ass, okay, was that which is unclean. Okay, remember Balaam rode upon the ass, okay, and which was unclean. Okay, Jesus rode upon the ass, and the ass is colt. Okay, of course, the ass had to be redeemed, okay, by a lamb. Now, if it wasn't redeemed, then the neck of the ass must be broken, which shows it was unclean. But we can see that God can utilize these things, okay, for confirmation. Now, we're going to see that here. Okay, so let's go here and read about that in chapter 8. We're in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 8. Now, Hezekiah said to Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was a steward. Okay, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? Okay, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day. So hide the word third day there. Okay, we're going to see what the anointing is going to do here. Okay, now Isaiah said, this sign shall you have of the Lord. Okay, now this was his selection. That the Lord would do a thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? I highlight the word 10 there. Okay, the number 10 represents a priesthood. And through your priesthood, God restores that which was lost. Through your priesthood, God heals that, okay, which was damaged. Okay, whether it be emotionally damaged, okay, intellectually damaged, or physically damaged, okay, we can see that the Lord can bring healing. That's what he does, the work of regeneration. Okay, the work of regeneration is only found in the covenant. And we can see that Isaiah was a man of faith, which is a man of the covenant. Okay, and being a refuge for Hezekiah, okay, refuge found deliverance. And so here Isaiah brings this particular number to his attention. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees? Okay, the number hit 10 here to prove my priesthood is sanctified by his anointing, or shall I reverse it? Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Okay, we're talking about as concerning the eternal day. Okay, and Hezekiah answered, he said, it's common and expected. It's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. That is the force of nature. The force of nature doesn't provide a testimony of God. Okay, but no, he says here, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And that means grant me redemption that I lost. Grant me redemption that I lost. So no, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Restore that which I lost before the 3 days. Now Isaiah the prophet identifies his calling. Isaiah wasn't shy about identifying his calling. The steward in which God's voice was now heard, Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord. This is for Hezekiah's remission of sin. Okay, so we see that remission is through the stewardship. Okay, even this is what Jesus said to his apostles. Whosoever sins they remit, they remitted. Whosoever sins they retain, they retain. And here we see remission. And what happened? And God now, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward. He restored or redeemed the time. And that's what we do. We're redeeming the time. Okay, so God gave the sign, okay, which was contrary to normal expectations. Contrary to normal expectations. Okay, so the anointing upon your life is contrary to normal religious practice, normal expectations. So it went backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. That was a time of darkness. That's why I read that before we read this here in chapter 20. Okay, the time of darkness was in times of Ahaz. That's when he made the token of the dial, the sundial. So the anointing bridges the curse. The sundial of the of wicked hands, the anointing bridges the curse and restores that which was lost. Okay, now let's go back to Ephesians, redeeming the time. So your priesthood redeems the time. Okay, when you're born into this dimension of the flesh, and the dimension of darkness, okay, immediately the soul began to assimilate for the aspiration, immediately. It began to assimilate for the aspiration. It began to weigh, okay, and to also to look for contrast. Okay, the infant began to do that immediately because that's what God engraved within them. God engraved that within all of us. You can see that within the animal kingdom, whatever is engraved within the record of the soul, the signature of the beast, okay, was carried out at the time of their birth. Okay, so that redeeming the time, verse 16. Redeeming the time, okay, because the days are evil. Okay, we already gave an example of that. Okay, out of 2 Kings chapter 20. So we can see that the Lord rewards us. Okay, the Lord rewards us by cleansing us of the past. 3 days. He said 3 days, which represented a new day, a time of refreshing. The day star. Jesus Christ, the day star. Okay, is providing us, okay, a new dawning. Okay, a new dawning. Okay, through your cycles of growth. Okay, just like Isaiah provided that new dawning for Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, a righteous man. So redeem in time because the days are evil. Okay, because this is the age of the impious, okay, which God planned for your faith. Okay, God put us in a dimension of darkness, the lowest of the heavens and the darkest of the heavens. He put contradiction within this dimension called Satan. Satan has a job which was assigned to him by God for the purpose of providing contradiction and contrast. If it wasn't for Satan's presence in this dimension, okay, this dimension would still be overgrown with paradise. Okay, it would be a paradise overgrown. Okay, from a little garden, it would cover the earth. Of course, our own eyes will behold us. Okay, our own eyes will behold us taking place during the ninth Enochian week. Okay, which is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, okay, which would take place 7 years after the rapture. Okay, so redeeming the time because the days were evil. Wherefore, he says here, when he talks about the evil days, we're talking about Okay, that the false knowledge is covering this earth as the waters cover the sea. But during the millennial reign of Christ, when we're down here, righteousness, okay, truth, okay, that will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Okay, it's going to be reversal. It's going to be marvelous in our eyes to witness this reversal. Okay, because when we witness the reversal, every honored career of this present dimension, okay, will not manifest itself during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Every honored career, okay, whether it be pharmaceutical, okay, there will be no need for hospitals during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ because we'll be here. We will also have access to the tree of life. Why? The fruit of the tree of life will continually rejuvenate the physical body. Okay, so there will be no need of pharmaceuticals. Well, there will be no need of jails either. But, of course, there will still be, the holy ones, which we are, we will be the judges. Okay, we will be the judges and we will set the expectations in righteousness. Okay, so you can see there'll be an absolute change there. Okay, it's concerning war, they shall learn war no more. Okay, they're turn their swords into plowshares. Okay, well, the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Okay, as well as also the bear with the calf. Okay, or the child should play upon the hole of the asp. Okay, there would be no danger. The asp is very poisonous. There would be no fear of those things. So you can see there's going to be an absolute environmental change. Okay, there'll be a physical change, an emotional change, a spiritual change. Jesus is here. Okay, of course, these changes begin within the seed of our heart now. Okay, through your cycles of growth. The priesthood, which you're engaged in now, okay, as you get your sacrifices ready, okay, will be very similar during the millennial reign as you continually express charity. What you're expressing now in charity, okay, through that which is being laid within your heart, is the same thing that's going to be taking place during millennial reign. Okay? You'll be giving life to all those that you come in contact with. You'll be sharing life. Okay, you'll be pointing out to generations, 20 generations of the future, you'll be pointing out to them the mysteries of God. How our Father, okay, inscribed a letter of His own name, okay, into everything that He created. Okay, whether it be a rock or a tree, okay, or a bird or a cow. We can see that wildlife will be restored. During the tribulation, okay, we're going to see that, you know how the world always fears the animals going extinct. Well, there's nothing to fear about that because God is going to restore that which is lost. Every animal that was lost because of the carelessness of man and his sin, okay, will be restored. Hey, you're going to see animals that you never saw. You're going to see animals that you haven't seen now. You're going to go to the zoo. Okay, the animals you see in the zoo there are really, okay, very, it's like you can count on your hand. Okay, but during the millennial reign, that's going to increase. You're going to see things you never saw before. And of course, there's going to be great things to wonder at there. Okay, so we'll also be redeeming the time. Okay, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 17. Okay, and that's what we do. Now we can see these things, as Paul's bringing out. Can you see what happened under Satan's spell? That there was no order. There was this chaos. There was clamor. Evil speaking. Is this aggressive? Aggressive talking, evil speaking, like the prating fool. Okay, wherefore he says, be not unwise, but understand what the will is, and be not drunk with wine. I like the word wine there, because we're going to go over that here in a moment. Wherein is excess? Okay, don't drink that which is fermented as your communion. Okay, for the aspiration, where also there's no moderation. But be filled with the Spirit, as Paul's bringing out. He's bringing out contrast for us again. See, drink of Christ by attending His altar. That's what he's saying. Drink of Christ. The high priest also drank wine and ate meat. Okay, at the altar of the first covenant. And if you're attending the altar of the second covenant, okay, you're also eating of the meat and drinking of the wine. Okay, so we can just go on here. Speaking to yourselves, so that which we're speaking is not under the influence of the physical wine, but the influence of the spiritual wine. Under the influence of the spiritual wine, okay, whereas we're not intoxicated naturally, okay, but we're confirming these things. We confirm this persuasion by charity, the charity of your prayers, to walk in harmony with God, as announcing the new dawn, as the birds sing to awaken us to labor and increase, okay, we also speak charity for the purpose of awakening, okay, laboring, and increasing. Okay, so we're speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay, and we're going to see that here in a moment in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2. Okay, so I'm going to turn to John, chapter 2. In John, chapter 2, we'll read a few verses here. We're going to start with verse 1. We'll read through verse 11 here as you get your sacrifices ready. Now we're going to see the word third day. Third day. Okay, now we read the word third day, okay, where Isaiah was making known to Hezekiah, okay, that he would arise and again attend to the tokens of his faith of that first covenant. Okay, and here we're going to see, okay, another a manifestation of the anointing. Okay, how our Lord, okay, is going to bridge the natural to the supernatural. From the natural to the supernatural, from that which is earthly to that which is spiritual, heavenly. As the sundial of Ahaz, earthly, okay, the Spirit of the Lord used it to bridge that which is heavenly, okay, with Hezekiah. Okay, so the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. This was a token for bonding, the bonding of increase, okay, a tradition which the Lord, okay, set within the male and the female. Okay, he set that within male and female, a tradition for multiplication. And now God has also set a tradition of multiplication through our charity as we bond with him. Now the mother of Jesus was also there to symbolize the power. Okay, to symbolize this power in her son. Now both Jesus, being the record of transfer, Jesus is a record of transfer, called a mediator. Now both Jesus called his disciples, which were his stewards and witnesses, and there they wanted wine. I mean, they lacked a particular token to symbolize this pleasure. The mother of Jesus said to him, the Lord, they have no wine. In other words, the church has no steward. They have no covenant. They have no covering. They have no wine. They have no token. But Jesus then made a mystery known. So Jesus made known the restriction was necessary for the season to introduce a new season. Okay, a new season would be provided for this increase outside of our relation or this baptism. So Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with you? This is what he's explaining to her. My hour is not yet come. Okay, the season of this expression. His mother said to the servants, whatsoever he says, but he's pointing to the Lord, whatsoever he says to you, do it. Why did Mary say that? Because what she's saying is, for I have learned by experience that Jesus will not particularly explain his reasons, but he delights to bridge your ignorance by faith. He won't explain it to you, but he will, by experience, okay, by this experience, bridge your faith. Okay, and we can see the Lord does the same thing. Remember when Peter, chief elder Peter, upon the housetop received a vision. Okay, he went into a trance and saw a vision. Okay, in that, the Lord, I say, Lord, a blanket, or a sheet with unclean creatures in it three times, okay, which also identified three men that were waiting for him at the door. We see the number three again, the announcement of a new time, a new season. This was a new season. A key was given to the chief steward, okay, and that key opened the door to the Gentiles, which, of course, brought some controversy, okay, among other some of the elders until he explained it, identifying the symbolism. Okay, and the language which the Lord used. Now there were set there six water pots. Got the word six there. There were six water pots, vessels restricted for quantity. There were vessels of stone, water pots of stone. Okay, after the manner of purifying, okay, which were used for the purifying. Okay, as it was a custom for Jesus to for the Jews to observe and Jesus to use. Okay, so he was going to use something naturally, okay, to convey something spiritually. Okay, as a dial of Ahaz for Hezekiah. Okay, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece, an unknown amount that needed to be completed by the Spirit. And this is what he's going to do. Two or three firkins apiece. So Jesus took notice of the number. Okay, so notice the number six. Six water pots of stone. The stone represents that which springs of the soil. The number six represents the number of man. Okay, the water which he's going to put in them Okay, it represents the cleansing, which becomes through covenant, which turns to wine. And then he says to them, fill the water pots, the six water pots, with water. And they fill them to the brim. Then under the command of the anointing of Jesus, so instead of cleansing of the hands, he now tasted for faith. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast. See, now dip into them and pour into their vessels. So draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast. And he did it. He did so. Now when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water, the law of cleansing, that was made wine, the spirit token for faith, and knew not, the ignorant of the true steward, knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And we're all familiar with this. This is what we call a subconscious prophecy. And he said, and said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But you have kept the good wine until now. He was actually prophesying. This beginning of miracles, a sign pointed to many revelations that will follow Jesus' ministry. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. Manifested forth his glory. It was not a random act, but a confirmation and proof of his claims. Okay, manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed him. That means they accepted the testimony for the sign number six. Okay, that he will redeem man, which he did. Okay, and which also, which he provided at the Last Supper. Okay, when he said, drink ye all of it. Let's go back to Ephesians and let's get ready to close here. Okay, so being filled with the Spirit, okay, speaking to yourselves as concerning this persuasion of charity in your prayers. Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay, so he's saying right here, so we continually walk in harmony with God, as he said in verse 1, as dear children. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs announcing the new dawn. Okay, as the birds sing announcing the dawn. It's making melody in your heart to the Lord, because Jesus is the mediator of our fermentation. Jesus is a mediator of our fermentation, that we will be as that sweet wine. Okay, giving thanks, he says here, we're showing forth this pattern by the spiritual tokens that he sanctified, which is sanctified by fire, okay, for the bosom. We're giving thanks to the Father. Okay, so we can see that which is the Spirit's provided for us is a preparatory stage of our consecration to enter back into the place of our memorial. Okay, that where our true roots are at. Okay, our roots, the roots of our memorial no longer stand within the generations of the flesh. While the roots of our memorial stand in that which is a generation of faith. Okay, the eternal one, Jesus Christ. So we're giving thanks and we're showing forth this pattern. This is what we'll do here in a moment. Giving thanks for all things. So I like the word all things there in verse 20, because he says all the tokens he's provided for us. The gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, the threefold cord, okay, will remain strong, okay, for your confidence. Like climbing a face of a cliff, okay, you want to make sure that the rope that you're using, okay, is a new rope and doesn't have any, okay, threads there, okay, broken, okay, you don't want any of those, the threefold cord, okay, it has to remain tight. Even as this is what Samson was bringing out, if they bind me with seven new cords or green widths, then I should become as another man. So we can see the number seven in there, which has to do with the changing of stewardship. Okay, that the challenge of the stewardship. Okay, you can't challenge the stewardship with natural things. So giving thanks always for all things. Okay, this is a form of reciprocation unto God and the Father. Okay, when he says the word God and the Father, he's talking about that which is the fire of his bosom. Okay, the fire charity. Because we know God is a consuming fire and that God is love. Okay, so we call it the fire charity. He governs us, okay, by this fire charity, which by this fire charity, we are adopted. So we're giving thanks unto the God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the token of ownership he's provided for us to sanctify our faith is what we're reciprocating with. Okay, Jesus Christ is our recall. Okay, we continually recall that which he's set within us. Okay, that which he's inscribing, which we began in our opening our lesson today. okay, of how he's inscribing within our hearts. Okay, and it's by this inscription in our hearts and in our minds, okay, that he's identifying us as his children. Okay, and they should be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. So giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.